So
not too crazy. Caliber.
Yeah, but 2 years, yeah.
Okay, it says it's recording.
I believe if you'd like to call the meeting to order, we are ready to go.
Okay, call the meeting to order. Just gonna start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We do a roll call.
We do a roll call.
So I gather Ray Griffiths is here.
Bill Funkel's here.
Carla Sutton. Alexandra.
Alexandra's here.
Francis. We have a Francis.
Christy.
Christy. Yep, she's got a thumbs up. Eric. Not seeing Eric.
I don't see
Donna's Eric. Here and Jerry. Okay.
Jerry time. He's out of service from now on.
From now on? Oh, he's down.
He goes out in December and new person comes in.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. He didn't run.
Oh,
I didn't know that. I just thought he was just automatically. Yeah.
Okay. We have no public, but I'll read this anyway. Any member of the public may address the Irrigation Committee on any matter within the jurisdictional authority of the Irrigation Committee. Public members desiring to provide comments must be recognized by the committee chairman. Comments must be directed only to the Irrigation Committee. The Irrigation Committee will hear communications on matters not on the agenda, but no action will be taken. I was not present for September meeting.
Can we just open it up for the internet to ensure that there's no comments?
Certainly.
The don't we need public, to know the agenda first?
The public is here.
Yeah, so let's adopt the agenda.
Yes, let's adopt the agenda.
Second?
I'll second.
Did you second, Bill? Bill, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Chair votes aye.
So since we have some online attendees, I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call vote just so that we have everybody.
Didn't we do that?
It's a little bit different when you do a Brown Act committee, which is this is what this is considered, and there's people who are attending virtually. So virtually, I would just like to make sure that we're legal.
Well, we can do that also.
So, Bill Threkel.
I'm here.
Just say aye.
Aye.
Carla Sutton.
Aye.
Alexander Duarte. I do need a verbal.
Aye.
Christy McKay, if you can please do a verbal. I know you did the thumbs up before. We'll call that an abstention. And do we have Eric? He was not available. Eric Meddy? Meddy?
Not on the... Christy said
that's
can't
fine.
Connect back shortly. Anyway.
And then Fran Todd was not in attendance, correct?
Correct.
And lastly, Ray Griffiths.
Yeah. Here. Okay. Approval of minutes.
Hold on. I think we had public. So there might... Was there a question from the public, I believe? Mr. Paul, Ray Paul?
Yeah, I was just letting you know I was here. He said there was no public involved. Letting you know I'm here.
Thank you for that. Now you can go to approval of the minutes.
Okay. Approval of the minutes. And since I wasn't here, someone else is going to have to make a motion to approve the minutes of September 15th.
I move the minutes be approved.
I'll second it.
moved and seconded to approve the minutes of September 15th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
You have to do a roll call.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, with the virtual. So Bill Threkel.
Aye.
Carla Sutton.
Aye.
Alexander Duarte.
Aye.
Christy McKay. Still abstaining. And lastly, Ray Griffiths.
Okay. Irrigation Committee member comments and reports. I don't have any comments.
Did you go to the board meeting?
I didn't.
Well, then there you go.
There I am. Since it was reporting about a meeting that I didn't attend, I thought it was kind of a waste of time.
Well, I thought if you'd gone, you could share what was happening. That's all. It's no big deal. Okay.
Yeah. Big deal. Informational reports. Water resources.
So we are going to be adding this report, but we have no report for this meeting underneath this. What we're trying to do is roll Alexis into this process slowly. So moving forward at the February meeting, we will include her as one of the reporters from the staff.
Okay.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Alexa is going to be a member of the staff.
Oh no. Rolling her into being more involved in this committee process in some of the water resources portions of the district. Because irrigation is supply related and it has a greater emphasis on how our water resources are allocated, I want to make sure that she is involved in this process so that she can be reporting out to the public some of our water resource management operations.
Okay. So that's a person?
Do you know who she is?
No. Oh. I thought you talked. I thought you were talking about Alexa, the like thing. I'm like, what?
Alexis Elliott.
I didn't know what that meant. That's why I say, what does that mean?
Alexis Elliott is our water.
Oh, I know who she is. Okay, perfect. Sorry. I get it.
So, operations report. Is that you, Adam?
Yeah, I'll turn that over to Adam.
So operations report. Someone wanted. We did at the board meeting earlier this week, and I think the biggest note here is on under the chart there. We recently did a bathymetric survey that adjusted the Stumping Meadows volume to 21,206 feet. So that's a change from 20,000 acre feet.
Oh yeah, that is a good change. Okay, do we have more of this?
It should be
in the back. Okay, gotcha. I didn't go that far.
Yeah. Probably saw it and I didn't want to think about it. Oh, okay.
Oh, there's another ordinance. Okay, wait.
Yeah, I think the technology used for this survey is much more advanced than the original technology that was used during the construction of Stumpy. So this number is the number we'll be using moving forward. As for some production numbers, is our treatment plants, we didn't have any irrigation in October, so that wasn't really included. You see our tree door production over time is pretty standard, but consistent with previous years. We have some minor fluctuations. I don't know if I need to go over all the rest of the work here. It kind of more applies to applies to irrigation, some of the mosquito fire work we did. I don't have a lot of that in here, but we were working up country on some of the canal out there doing some repairs and whatnot, some erosion control to ensure that that source is reliable, moving forward through the season into next season. Nothing associated with any RCIP projects. The canal lining, that's on hold right now until after the rainy season, after we respond to the mosquito fire. We're going to be responding for a long time, but our immediate response, a lot of our efforts going there right now. Other than that, for the operations, for that much more to add, I think it's relevant for the irrigation.
Okay. Thanks, Al.
Yeah, thank you. Are you going to stay for the whole meeting? Because when we get the ordinance, I have some questions. Okay, perfect.
November water assessment. Fire statistics, I have no idea what this is about. So.
Well, that was, I think, part of what Adam was going to talk about, but he just said he didn't have much more information updates.
I didn't know what it was, so okay.
Well, so the operations report is one thing. So the second part is it's basically what we've been doing since the drought was declared in June, we've been monitoring our use. So it's in the board packet, the next item, and that the first table shows that's our treated water use, which it doesn't really apply much to the irrigation side, but it's just part of the report. So we just added this report to the packet. It really, the second part is where it would, I think, apply more to the irrigation committee. So the second table there, it talks about our water year assessment for last year, so 2021, 2022. So that's from October 1st of 2021 through September 30th of 2022. And it shows our demand and allocation throughout the system for last year and for 2 years previously, so we can compare our usage over time. So it shows we did reduce some of our percent losses throughout the entire system, which is good. It shows our canal projects, our canal lining projects are benefiting, you know, allowing us to put more water to beneficial use. The summary from that was that we see approximately 700 acre feet additional of water available for that beneficial use. This is the, I don't know if you guys are still looking, this is the what we're looking for right here. It's after the operations report.
Too far. Then I thought you were talking on this one. And so that was interesting.
Right there.
Yeah, okay. All right, perfect.
So at table, we develop those numbers from how much water we sell, how much water we produce, and our gauges throughout the system that we monitor year round. That's where those numbers come from. The second page of that report shows NOAA's outlook for precipitation and temperature for the next 90 days. We usually do the 90-day one before winter season. We'll kind of fine-tune it February, March, April, when we get closer to the decision of irrigation season and water allocation for our upcoming water season. So this shows that precipitation looks equal chances. Temperature looks like above normal. This is similar to what we saw last year. And from last year, we saw, you know, 3 or 4 big rain events, nothing really consistent throughout the year. So, I mean, take for what it is on the page, you know, every year has been very different.
Yeah.
And, unique, the last few years. So with that, so we use that. And then the next page, the water supply budget table. So we use a water model that accounts for the last 30 years precipitation and inflow in the Snuffy Meadows. So it takes all that data and compiles it into one. We enter our inputs from the district is our demand that we anticipate from the beginning of the water year, which would be October 1st, 2022, moving forward. So what this shows is the percent chance of acre feet inflow into Snuffy Meadows. So there's a 10% chance we will receive at least 116,000 acre feet on one side of the scale. The other side of the scale is a 95% chance we will receive at least 7,800 acre feet. So that said, currently we are at 75% of capacity, so around 16,000, so about 5,000 acre feet short of full capacity. So with that, it means we're in a pretty good shape for this year, moving into the winter season. You know, I mean, last year we were at 50%. So we're at 75% this year. So I think that bodes well for the district and for the next water season. Mm-hmm. The next tables and charts just kind of outline each scenario's projection throughout the year. These obviously our demand changes throughout the year. So it kind of graphs it out to show what we would expect with each scenario at different times of the season. The 95%, the worst case scenario in there does show we would have some restriction come April 1st or the second week in April when we make the water year decision. But that is the worst case scenario. Last year we saw the 50% percentile. That's really what it's just showing what we anticipate. Obviously, we got to go through the winter season and really see how it plays out. And we'll make a more informed decision come February, March, and April. This is what we're looking at.
Perfect. These really help. These are nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some good tools to help us really understand and try to plan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. That's really helpful.
All right, thank you, Adam. So where are we?
Before we move on, do you want to open up just to make sure we don't have any public comments?
Sure.
Any questions? Do anybody have questions. Let's see. Hi, Christy.
I do have a question.
Oh, yes.
This may not be the right time to ask, but at the last meeting I was able to listen into in regards to irrigation water at the end of the season, there was discussion that for possibly next year, extending the irrigation season because fire season has extended. Did that discussion take place in the irrigation meeting?
Not yet.
Okay.
We won't discuss any adjustments to the schedule until February after we know the water outlook, the water usage. We will come back with adjustments or suggested adjustments to the water schedule. Some things that have been thrown around is potentially adjusting the water year, moving it weeks or months in advance, or just determining what would be best for the district. But that discussion has not happened yet.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's on the ordinance, and we're going to be discussing it today, I hope, right? It's on the ordinance that we're supposed to be discussing.
No final decisions will be made today.
Well, no, of course not. No final decisions, but we would love to get his input also when we're discussing it. That's sure. What I wanted him to know.
Okay.
Action items.
Continue review ordinance 2005-01. Recommended changes. So I gather we've gone.
Oh yeah, you missed it. Yeah. If you look through there, you can see the red, how far right. We got. That's what we suggested. And then we ended at section two.
Section two, it says, take up here at the November meeting, which is
today.
Today.
Can I make a suggestion on page two? Instead of having access, you put right of entry.
Could you show where?
Page two, which part?
Page 2H. It says the ditch tenders and other agents of the district shall have access to all lines.
Yes, I agree.
And in other agencies I've worked, we always had an ordinance stating right of entry, not just access.
So what is the difference? Right of entry would mean?
Well, a legal term and direct them to the point instead of a vague access. I don't know. That's just one thing. We used to always have right of entry.
Almost like a combination. You know, like right of entry, but access also means like access in the pipe. Like right of entry is like, yeah, you can go on there.
Yeah.
Maybe we can.
Is a right of entry means you need to ask first or let you know that we're going to be on your property?
Normally you do ask.
Oh, I'm sure.
But that's it's not a requirement.
But it's not something you have to.
Right.
They have right of entry, and if someone challenges them, they have to show proof that they're a district employee.
So I see.
Is that different than access?
No, but like what
we can just
was saying is access into the pipe, into the
whole. We can just change it to say district shall have access and right of entry to all lands irrigated from within its system, from its water system. And it encompasses both. Are you okay with that adjustment?
Yeah,
I like that too.
Yeah.
All right, I'm a little. What? Where did we start? Are we on section two or?
We're page two, section letter H under section one.
At the bottom of the page.
We went back to what we talked about last meeting, and but when we start, we'll be on section two.
And there's a typo.
I'm sorry, that's my fault because I missed September.
Yeah, that's okay. We're not going to hold it against you.
Say in ditches, on ditches,
circle bone. But we didn't do it.
No, we didn't. We just skipped right over it. I was all ready to. I'm like, ooh, and it's like, nope. It's like, we got to amend that. October's an important month.
Did you find it, Alexandra?
Did you find it? What we're talking about? Okay. Are you good with that? Right, okay, section two.
Sorry, I didn't mean to backtrack.
Okay.
No, that's all right. If there's anything else too, we've got to, because for those of you who weren't here, this is important. We want this right.
So
can I make it a suggestion here? I'm reading this over, and there's a an issue that I want to raise.
Where are we?
Back to this?
It's back on H. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The public is not allowed on ditches on private property. That is, I don't think, grammatically correct. I would like to maybe propose a change to say that this should say the public is not allowed on district facilities on public property.
Yeah. Where are we?
Right here under H.
On H,
right
here, the green,
oh,
the
on
green
H, okay.
Words.
Yeah.
On the district facilities?
I was wondering, I don't, it's related to this, whether either the district or the landowner could put a sign basically saying this, that the public is not, you know, there's no public access just because there's a ditch here. And, you know, in essence, making it so that the landowner has
privacy,
the right to say, unless you're from DUD or something, then it's not allowed, I guess.
Yeah, it could just be reading the first statement differently, the first sentence. You know, the public is not allowed right of entry or access to ditches on private property.
I think that's a good idea, because a lot of people think they can walk down the creek.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's a sign there saying.
But that's not a creek.
Yeah, I know, but
yeah,
people look at it and go, oh, it's
they
been there 100 years. So
yeah,
yeah. Like how we say ditches are allowed by the entry and access.
That's the last thing you want to do is have public on your
property. Right.
The public is
yeah,
not
yeah,
allowed.
Yeah, walking down the ditch. Yeah.
No unauthorized, it doesn't even have to be public. No unauthorized people, or however you want to word it, and just put it that way.
That's fine. We can change that. No unauthorized. I actually like that. No unauthorized people. So we'll come up with something.
Hello.
Okay.
So how does that get like me going up to the water box and checking my box?
You're authorized.
Yeah.
You're authorized.
It's
okay.
You can't, but you can't like.
Christy has a question.
Yeah. I think it's to avoid you going into somebody else's. You know, you have your property. It's your private property, so.
No, his is not his is on somebody else's property.
I go up through Nagels, but I've known them three generations, so I got a problem.
Somebody else's private property.
Yeah.
I still think it's.
And you don't have access.
You're authorized. I think. No, you don't think he's authorized? He's got to get permission.
He is not a district personnel.
Oh, you're right.
Adam can trot up there.
Well, if he was authorized, though.
But get permission without permission, authorized or permission. I mean, you've got to be able to go check your boxes.
If you're authorized by the property owner, that would be authorization.
Oh, okay.
Same thing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you
can't. As long as it's same.
I mean, I can't.
Okay, Christy has a question.
Property where my valve is at, unless I ask him to go over there and check.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My biggest problem is up there at the end of Trevor's ditch is that jerk that lives in the house right there. He's come out there and threatened me several times.
Well, that's why you got to call.
And I just told him, I said, I'm checking my box. Back off, bro.
Yeah. I know people.
That spot is not a facility.
That's what I'm figuring. It's not a facility. And I'm going up to Nagel's property, which they gave me access to go. So,
but if you have an agreement, I think with the property owner, that would be
an
agreement and still authorizing you. Mr. Griffiths, just so you're aware, there are two questions from the online community.
So I gather Christy had a question.
Yeah. My question is, I feel like there's some confusion regarding the word property, whether it's the personal property of the owner, the property owner, or if it's property of GPUD. And I would suggest that we perhaps use easement where we're talking about GPUD property, you know, the because it's the 25 feet surrounding the ditch that we're talking about people not being allowed on without permission. Or are we talking about the property owner who abuts that easement?
It's a good question, because it isn't actually GDPUD property. It's
an easement.
It's an easement across.
Right. Which is why I'm saying anytime we refer to the ditches or the property they're on, we should use the word easement.
The ditch itself is a GPUD
easement.
It is property?
Property.
Okay.
Easement is a private property, but that gives the GPUD access onto the property. Very beyond nice, that ditch. The structure is a GPUD property. The easement gives them access to that or around that structure.
Okay, so for example, if the ditch runs through the center of somebody's property and you've got the 25 feet on either side, you still don't have an easement to get from the road to the ditch. It's not a formal easement in the same way. Am I confused?
The ditch. The box can't get to it because it's going to cost somebody else's property to get to it. So.
But I think we'd fall under prescriptive easement there because we've been accessing that a ditch or a location the same way over time. Mm-hmm. That's how I think that's how that would work.
Yeah, because that's like really frustrating because I used to drive up to the Montreal River ditch and walk in. Guy wouldn't let me in there anymore. So then I had to go the other way.
But that's different. You're private.
Right.
These are a public agency.
Right. Yeah. These guys shouldn't be able to go anyplace.
Right.
But even really, like most ditches cross the road, so really you could walk from the road because the road's a public right of way. And they just, you know, so
you can't be in the ditch.
You can be on the bank though, because that's a prescriptive easement.
But not for public.
Oh yeah,
we're not talking about the public.
Keeps crossing back and forth. Oh.
She was asking about the district getting to the ditches if it stayed deeper into a property than 25 feet. I believe there's one more question on the Zoom.
From Ray Paul.
Yeah, when you first started talking about this, you used the word district facilities. You were talking about ditches and district facilities. When you use the word facilities, to me, that sounds like the public can't even go to your office because that's a district facility. So I think you need to be specific when you're talking about the ditches versus other district facilities where people are not allowed.
Yeah, but the rest of the statement is on public, private property, excuse me. So the district facilities like our office would be public property.
Okay, thank you.
We can move on to section two if you would like, unless there was other from.
I'm good. Everybody good?
We can work on some languaging there a little bit.
Okay, moving along to section two.
I didn't have any issues with section two. Did anybody? It's just basically filling out the forms and new people.
Question is the form involved enough, or does it ask enough the right questions? And
seems like to me, I don't know what would be missing from the form. Does anybody have a form issue?
Have any
that's going to be different than your ordinance.
Yeah.
Reviewing the form would be different than reviewing the
right.
We can take that.
It just refers.
Oh yes, to absolutely. Yes. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So everybody.
Yeah, I think it works good. The application period, January 1st to March 1st. Setting every.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys got to have enough leave.
Yeah, you do.
So you know who's going to be here.
Then it gets time to do the back those done too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
There's one more question before you move on.
Is there,
Christy?
Oh, hi, Christy. Yes.
Hi, me again. So I'm just curious, overall, it says in part A, the customer agrees to abide by the terms and conditions established in the irrigation ordinance, but it nowhere, I think we discussed this at a previous meeting, whether the actual ordinance was provided to the customer, or if perhaps an abbreviated portion that just applies to, you know, customers' use and rules and that sort of thing. But I think something should be mentioned in here about that, you know, every irrigation customer will have access to the ordinance, whether it's online or paper, you know, hard copy.
So it'll be available online to anybody who needs it.
Okay.
And so every new customer gets a copy of it too.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Okay, that was it. Oh, I do have one more question. On part F, page 5, what is an out-of-district irrigation service account?
There's some grandfathered accounts in that are outside of the district that have service.
Okay.
So that's what I was referring to there, so.
Are there very many?
There's not that many, no.
Okay.
So I think I'd say if you're out of district, just like if you have treated water connection, if you're out of district, you're out of district. You won't be allowed to access.
They basically have to maintain their service in perpetuity unless they lose that, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Change of ownership is okay as long as they immediately reapply. But if they remain dormant for 2 years, then basically they cannot reapply in the future. And we go pick up their facility, their box.
I think where it clarifies that to the priorities, it talks about parcels, not properties.
And that has to do with our sphere of influence with LAFCO. So we can't, unless we updated and included them, we couldn't even go back. It had to be a legal process to get them back in. They had to participate in the district. So actually like the taxes and every other.
So they'd have to change the boundary.
Correct.
And they'd have to be an action correct. By the board correct. To change the boundary.
You have to annex them is what it's called.
Right, yeah.
We need to add the change about having a flow protector in here, backflow protector installed.
That's only on treated water, though.
If you have both, if you have irrigation and treated.
If you want irrigation, you will put a backflow preventer in, or you really? Will not get irrigation.
Yeah, if you have treated water.
Excuse me, don't you have a backflow preventer in your property? Hello?
I don't.
Isn't it only if you have both services?
Yeah.
It's not if you,
yeah, I don't
you can get either. A well and not need one. It is only if you receive both services from the district. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy if your systems are a little far apart.
It has to do with if you, because some people will could plumb the irrigation right. water into your
no,
home.
I could see how you could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
never even thought about it, to be perfectly that. Honest.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you can go into section okay. 3 if you'd like.
Yes, there's a good one. Okay, so this one, if we could just talk whenever we want. Here's the one where we well, can adjust maybe, the maybe season.
Do we wanna do it based on like letters? I understand. We can totally talk all at once, but if we go through it as A, B, C.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine.
I think it may be a little bit more clean. So. We can start with section A, and it looks like you may have some notes on section A. Are you further down the list?
No, it's I think section A. Yep. Yeah, it's the dates May 1st to October 1st. This is what we've all
are anxious. There's been a long discussion about
that. Yeah, that's exactly right. So my thought is there was a time in years gone by when. Sometime when we were analyzing the rainy season and blah, 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 irrigation water may not start until mid-May. And we would wait 2 weeks, but it would go 2 weeks into October. And that was wonderful. But then that stopped. It no longer was ever discussed or whatever. So I would like to see at least we make a decision in early whenever we need to do that. That we either make it May 15th to October 15th. And if it's a very rainy spring, we could even move it all the way to June 1st to November 1st. But my question to Adam would be, if irrigation water went to November 1st, would that give you enough time to do everything you've got to do with getting things ready before the nasty weather starts?
In all honesty, like it's really hard to tell because every year is so different.
It right. is.
So
right.
Like last year we had two rain events. And
right.
We had 3 months of dry weather. We got tons done.
Right.
I think with how the climate is in California, I think how it says in here the board directors have considered changes to the irrigation season. I think that's totally valid. You know, I think as operations will work around that, because everything's so different now. It's not normal.
Right. There's no predicting, like, well, this will give you time or it won't give you time. Yes. You just hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. And we'll still have a 5-month window, and we can plan weeks where we can get work done if we see rain events. Because, I mean, everyone knows when we were younger, when I was younger up here, it's, you know, it would just rain constantly, like a kind of slow drizzle.
Right,
For weeks at a time. Now we have these huge events, 3-week breaks.
Right.
So we just have to be more opportunistic to meet those.
Yeah.
Find time to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Make hay when the sun shines. Okay. So how does everybody else think about that?
Well, this isn't something we're going to decide.
We're not going to decide, but we're giving suggestions. So that was my suggestion. Is that a suggestion we want
to? We can add language in there that is just clarifying this to say something along the lines of.
Well, it says generally will be from May 1st to October 1st.
What I would suggest is the board of directors shall consider changes to the irrigation system and respond to climatic conditions by either extending, shortening, or adjusting the irrigation season as seen fit by majority vote of the board.
Okay, I get that's in wording, but they haven't done it.
Okay, but that
we haven't been able to do it.
Okay, well, that could be too, but you know.
That is true. And the thing what now is, we're going to look at this group is going to be looking at the numbers from Adam in February.
Right.
And or January, whenever we get the numbers for this group. And then there will be recommendations from the committee to the board.
Right.
And then that's when the decision will be made.
So we're just giving our opinion.
An approximate time when this decision would be made.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
We can add a date. This decision.
I mean, we don't want to do it on May 1st, but
this decision will be considered at the. We could put this decision will be considered at the board meeting. You could say April. I mean, I think we could say every attempt will be made to make this decision by the board meeting within the month of April or something along.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that would work.
Hello, can I make
yes.
a comment? I'm just wondering, you know, anytime you put specific dates or very specific information into an ordinance and you're going to change that, even if you add language, you have to change the ordinance, in my estimation. And I'm curious whether we can just say the irrigation system shall generally be from May through October, and then some of the language that Adam was mentioning that, you know, it will be determined by this meeting and the date will be announced to the public at this time and so on and so forth for each year affected.
Yeah, I'll work on this. I'll work on the language for this.
Okay. I mean, especially now that we have the irrigation committee, which hasn't been in place before. And you could mention just what you said.
So we can do March.
The information would be given to the irrigation committee who will make a recommendation and the board will vote, that kind of thing. That makes sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that. That's actually a good point.
Well, this would really help the district in a way too, because you know if you're delivering water in May and we're not using it, it's running down the creek. We're wasting water.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've seen many Mays when it's when I put water on the ground and it just runs down the creek.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying it's good to be able to switch it.
I think it's very good. Yeah, yeah. Year to year, it's going to vary. I agree. As long as we can do that.
So, Ray Paul and then Alexandra.
Okay, thank you. I just want to get the reason I joined the meeting was to put my opinion in regards to the irrigation season. And I agree, you know, May 15, June 1 would be a good time to start so that we can have the extended use of water in the dry season and also for fire. Unfortunately, when the mosquito fire hit, I'm down in Pilot Hill, you shut the ditch off. So I didn't have irrigation water to use for fire protection, but they had to use it up country. So I get that. But I would like to.
I was being driven by it.
It was shut off at the end of September. We remained on through the end of September. Through
October. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was shut off September 30th, I believe.
Yeah, it was. I thought that the fire water was already over, right? Or
the water,
way.
The irrigation water in Pilot Hill was on, and then when the fire hit is when you turned it off. It's because you had extended it. That was the big meeting where we were talking about fire mitigation and everything, and then you decided to extend it. And then the fire happened, but you had to shut the ditch off because of the fire. So we didn't have the use of the water to fight the fire down here if it got to our property, which it didn't.
One of the only ditches, because in Garden Valley, we had irrigation water and the ponds and pool were used to fight the fire. They had irrigation water.
I get it. So my point is, I'm just saying I would like to see the fire season, the water season extended, started later, run a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yes, yes. We agree.
Alexandra, did you have a question?
I do have a question. I'm still trying to work out how to use Zoom. I don't know how to raise my hand yet. So how much choice does GPAD have in the season and how much is mandated by the state? Does that
amount? So it's not necessarily the season that's the mandate from the state. It's the amount of water that's utilized. So we have to be as efficient with the water as possible. So that's the issue that we have. We don't necessarily, the timing doesn't really matter. The reason we did the month off for this season was because it was calculated to be 20% of the total amount of irrigation use. However, we can adjust the time, or we can adjust the flow rates, or we can adjust the amount of water that is being taken. We can also, and just for the committee's edification, we are looking at potential adjustments to our urban water management plan that would bring in some language for the fire season and for firefighting. So we're not sure exactly how that's going to look, but that's something we have to submit to the state to basically have this ability to utilize extra water as a beneficial use for fire mitigation. So we will have those answers by February or March of next year, because it's the deadline to have these submitted is February. So we should have an update on those kind of questions by then.
Thank you, that makes sense. So you get what the state says, and then you make a judgment calls on how best to use what water you have, whether it's start the season later or finish the season earlier, or, and I assume, although this lovely data that you've got, we can look at what the climate's been doing in the last few years and when there's the most need, and there's a lot of numbers involved.
That is exactly correct. And I understand, Mr. Paul, your suggestion in regard to the fire service that you're looking to utilize this water for fire service. And I think that we will take all of those suggestions and issues into account while we're determining the schedule and making recommendations for the board in February, March.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions? Okay. Any more questions for section A? Okay, how about section B? Section C? Was that a question?
I'm just trying
to
find myself.
Here. There was a noise, and I wasn't sure what the noise was.
Yeah.
I have a question on the first suggested
changes. Hang on, Christy. One second. Hang on. Could you say your question?
I didn't have a question. I just want to make sure the suggested change was noted. To change must be to maybe. And that wording about water must be used. And I mean, it's not a big deal, but it had already been a suggested change.
And it shouldn't be maybe.
Yeah.
It should always be must be.
Must be used.
Yeah. Because
it must.
Coming from someone who's on the end of a line, it's like when it's really hot.
Do people shut your water off and then you can't get it?
Pouring water out. So I've got all my irrigation set up for a certain flow.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, everybody decides, oh, it's hot, we got to turn everything on, and all of a sudden my sprinklers go down to nothing, and I have to like have one sprinkler for 2 inches of water.
So what is that, the difference between must be used?
I think it should be shall be, must be. Shall is a legal term. Shall
is the right term.
Shall is illegally that you have to do it.
Yes.
Right.
There's no turning it off until the end of the season.
Thank you.
So that's, I will adjust question. That. Is your question, Christy?
That was my question, is why change it to maybe when it must be? So perfect.
Okay. We will make that adjustment. Is there any other for section C?
Under the solutions, and I don't want to turn this into a big discussion, but they're replacing the gravity irrigation system with a pressure system. I'm just wondering how realistic that is and what kind of costs you're looking at. What kind of...
I will tell you it will not happen because of the cost.
Okay.
You are looking at $10 to $20 million to do something like that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
not that dollar amount, but that concept, yes.
It has to do with you'd have to clean the water before you put it in the pipe. You'd have to put the pipe. You'd have to, having a pressurized system like that brings in a whole new set of state regulations.
Okay, so that comes out.
It costs more money.
Yeah. Substantially more money.
Yeah. Section D, you have any questions on section D?
Nope.
Section E. And if I go in too fast and somebody jumps up and yells at me, that's fine. Section F.
Okay, let's go back to C. 5 days. Well, we had that 5 day where you guys will get 4 days and kick it on for a day and then it goes off again. 5 days provides a maintenance period. I think sometimes if you're seeing it kick on and off, I think that's probably more has to do with some the demand. During it, like what you're talking about earlier, hot, so it's hot or cold.
Oh no, that's different. Yeah. It's like it'll go down for some reason.
Yeah.
And then it'll come up 3-4 days later. And then all of a sudden it'll go down again. So something didn't work when you guys were working on something.
You know, that kind of happens.
And then it would be nice to know also if it's, that's what's happening. If you're working up on a spot,
that's gonna affect you.
That's like if we get back to your notifications.
Right.
It would be nice if we had some kind of notification when you're shutting something down.
Right? Sure.
Like during the fire, we lost water after the 7th. And that was because you guys had all the grizzlies full.
Yeah.
And it just shut all the water up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's right. Mine did go off too.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that goes to the same challenge we're having with the treated water side, because we did set out notifications for that. We haven't sent out a notification for every maintenance we've done, but I think we should, and we're going to.
How do you send note? Yeah, the phone thing.
Through, it's through WaterSmart. So the challenge there, what we're facing with treated water, is we get people to sign up and have updated contact information. So the more we get that word out, the more we can utilize that, and everyone will know what's going on. It's really easy to do. We get
phone call.
We can put whatever we want. We can.
That's one, like if we have a. You're doing a repair,
yeah,
we get that automatic call.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a repair that's going to shut off the system,
yeah,
it would be good to have this automatic call that comes in and gives us a heads up we're going to be losing water.
Yeah,
because you probably have gotten them for where you live for treated water right now.
I have gotten them, that's why I'm asking.
So we can do the same exact thing. It's just getting customers to have their contact information updated. We plan on doing it. We do it for treated water. And we'll do it for
You've contacted me for one, so you've got contact for a second.
But then actually they're separate in the system. They are. I know. So we try to update them both, but there's a lot. So if you have irrigation entry, you have to make sure you update both of them.
I think we can work on when you apply, because everybody has to apply every year with correct information, and we can work on
maybe add that. It's like, are you in the system or something like that?
Do you have new, can you please provide your contact information or is it different than what we have here?
Yeah, that is.
Highlighted or something. Yes. We'll highlight that on the application process to make sure we're getting the right information.
That would be nice everybody has.
Yeah, and WaterSmart was new last year. So we were just by the beginning. I think we got it worked out pretty well now.
And I think 5 days, and if you wanted my opinion on 5 days, it would, if it went down Friday night and you have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday would be your 5 days. So it's not 5 business days, it's 5 days. So you're including the weekend days.
When it goes down.
Well, Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law. And I think having the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so that's really only 3 working days to get the problem fixed. I think that's why if you went to like say 3 days or even 4 days, that would give less time to figure out the issue and get to the issue and make a proper repair on the issue. And Chairman, you do have one question from Rena Devon. I apologize if I pronounced your name wrong.
Oh. Hi. Hi.
My question is, I have a situation here where we have 2 ponds. My neighbor has it's in his name, the water's in his name. I have the spigot. How would someone, I would not get the notification if the water's being shut off. So I'm the person who has the spigot and I'm the person who's the responsible party here for everything, except for my neighbor gets the bill. So how would that be handled?
Between you and the neighbor, yeah, I would say I would want to.
Something else you have to work out.
Yeah, that's what sharing, I think, is the responsibility. You're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, he's not so good at that. That's the problem. So when we were evacuated, the water went way down and another neighbor stayed and he notified me that the water had been, it was just down to a tiny trickle.
We can look into it and we can see if there's a way to put your contact information into the system, but without having an account, and it would be potentially difficult to include you in the notification system. But we can look at what options we may have available.
I'll call you.
We have been using our Facebook page more often.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do we have a Facebook page? I didn't even realize that. That would be great to get for a lot of people to get information, because especially during emergency situations, Facebook was on it during the fire.
Yeah, we will. We are aware that that's a great communication method.
Up here, it seems to be.
I think if I could make a comment on that, I think what the problem was is that someone left with the password and that you haven't figured out how to get into that page again.
I think we have the password.
You do have the password? Okay.
Okay, I believe we're on section G, unless there was any questions for E still. So any questions for section G, section G. And if there's none, section,
I don't have a problem with it.
H?
No, H is good.
About letter I?
I have a suggestion for I. Okay. I think it's time that we allow neighbors to share irrigation water. It's just like we were talking about a minute ago. It would be the responsibility of the owner who has the account, but with the price of irrigation water is, and it's not going to go down, it's only going to go up. I don't see any reason whatsoever if a neighbor with someone with irrigation water and you want to share it, either share it with them and let them have it or share it with them and everybody split the bill. As long as it's one person, the homeowner, and if your account, you're responsible, because I read where people or suggestions were possibly the district would be held liable or things like that. That would not be an issue. It would be totally on the account owner. Any issues come up, it's just a private situation. I think it's time to we allow that.
Wouldn't it be better to have each property owner pay for their own account?
Well, but then that's going to complicate things.
No, that's going to be clearing things up, because if the property owner that's giving it to 2 or 3 people dies, goes away, and whatever, and then all of a sudden these other people have been using it for 5 years.
Right, they don't have irrigation water anymore.
All of a sudden there's a precedent set and we do become potentially liable for a precedent.
I don't see how. I really don't, not with this. Only because here's what I'm thinking. First of all, are you offering accounts? Like if, for instance, I have irrigation water. If my neighbor wants irrigation water, would he be able to go down and open up an account and get irrigation water?
Theoretically, yes, we have a wait list. So if in your scenario, someone passed away, then that would open up a spot on the list.
Right. So the chances of him, I mean, I don't know how many people are on the waiting list.
I wouldn't have to look.
It depends on the section of the ditch.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what would you say the odds of somebody getting irrigation water?
Because the amount of water that can be served to the community through the ditches and through Stumpy, it's the amount of water that we have available.
And it goes on each lake.
On each lake. So that's worth capacity.
It's a capacity issue.
Some of them there are not.
Okay, so that's my point. Getting a new account is only...
You are opening up the district to a legal fiasco.
I don't see how. How could that be?
Because if you
say that it's a private agreement between homeowners at the
district... I agree.
So that is not something you codify in writing. That is something that if they have a legal or a gentleman's agreement, so to speak, such as what Rena has, that is a gentleman's agreement between them.
And the district you won't get in trouble by the district.
Not in that situation, because we have explicitly written here that it was only done under written approval by the board of directors.
Okay, so for instance, let's say I want to share with my neighbor. I come to a board meeting and say, is it okay if I run a hose to my neighbor's place? And if you say yes, then
in the resolution, we will codify that any disputes that come up amongst your neighbor and the district will be held through you.
Okay, perfect. That's exactly what I want to hear. As long as that could happen, then I think that's perfectly legit.
But then, okay, so the district gets involved and you've got a gentleman's agreement, even though the district approves.
Can you start over, Christy? I'm so sorry, Christy. You were a little bit hard to hear in the beginning there.
I'm really sorry. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to state this. So if I have irrigation water and you're saying that if I want to share it with a neighbor, it's not affecting the distribution amounts because it's my allocation being shared between two. So I'm the only one who's down. But that has to be approved by you guys. If I sell my property and the next property owner doesn't want to share, doesn't the fact that you approved it get you in more trouble?
No, because we will reference you and your legal name and your legal account number that will be associated with the irrigation service, not the property. It will be your legal account with the district.
So when I sell the property, my account number, the new property owner gets a new account number.
Yes, ma'am. Just like when you started the new PG&E service, or if you move out of PG&E and you go to a new utility service, you'd get a new account number.
And it says here that the caveat that the agreement expires upon any change of ownership.
So it's before we, if you have a question, please go ahead.
I got one question. What's the district's idea of capacity of irrigation water going down Pilot Hill Ditch until it reaches the last dam down there at Pilot Hill? What's the capacity? How many inches?
I'd have to look exactly what it is. I don't have a comment. But we've definitely done a capacity study for each segment of the ditch.
Yeah, I've heard this a couple times when you say, well, you don't have enough irrigation to sell more water. Well, I mean, we were taking 75 inches on my 300 acres. Nagels were taking that much on the Cherry Acres ditch. There was farmers up in there, Chappies and throughout there, they were taking, you know, 20 inches.
We easily have that much past there.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering what it was, because
you have all Pilot Hill, all cool, like Grand Prix Circle, the pipeline.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you get in the pipeline, then it's going to, only so much will flow through it. But that's what I was wondering on the ditches. So.
We could get you the number if you wanted to know.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, going down that way on that ditch that, you know, if you want to make more money, you could probably sell more water.
I think at some point you do have to, there's a cost benefit, and yes, you may be making more money, but you would end up hurting the reservoir in terms of capacity as well. And then remaining, if we have a dry year, or if we have multiple dry years in a row, then we end up having to restrict all irrigation flows for say year two or three, or four, if say it's a 5-year drought, year 3, 4, and 5, we would shut the irrigation ditches off. And I don't think, the district would want to do that. I think we would, that would be like a last resort. So I think if we manage it a little bit more tightly, then we end up with a little bit less of that kind of situation.
All right.
And then Chairman Griffith, you have a question on the Zoom from Ray Paul.
Oh.
Okay.
Ray Paul, so, yes, right. Question.
So I've been using the ditch water since 1976, so I'm a little bit familiar with it. I remember some meetings where when we went through the price increases and the question was asked, you know, it's kind of like if you had a car dealership, you want to make more profits, you got to sell more cars. So we're not selling more water because we have a waiting list. We're not letting those people have access to the irrigation water, which would generate more income, which would lessen the cost for the people that are paying for it now. So you would have more income. So the theory, I understand, you know, appreciate wanting to let the neighbors use it and all that. So if you're buying a miner's inch and you're only using a half and you're going to let your neighbor use the other half, are they paying you for that? Why am I paying more money, but yet you're selling water to your neighbor? I just think that I don't understand why you can't add more customers, why there's a waiting list. Like we were just saying a minute ago, you know, not doing as much farmlands and all that. And when you take that amount of money, I had heard there was only like 100 ditch customers, but that's just hearsay. I don't know how many there really are.
Typically,
I just don't understand why you can't bring in more ditch customers if the water's available.
There's more.
Because you're going to allow somebody to start selling
it. I think you kind of answered your own question there. I think it's because if there's more water available. And I don't think that there is more water available. We're selling the same amount of water we have in all the years. And just because someone has this gentleman's agreement doesn't mean that we're not being paid. They're paying the right amount of water for the water that's going through their system. If you rent a property, you rent an ADU on your property, and you're not paying the mortgage company additional money, it would be a similar argument. So you are still paying for the water that's flowing through your box, and they are just getting compensated on the back end for water that they're using, that is being utilized by the neighbor.
Adam, so, how many irrigation water customers do we have?
It's about 545.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear that, Ray Paul, the total number of irrigation water customers?
Yeah, that's fine. That's great. It'd be nice if it was.
And it's the same that it's been. I would have to go back and look to 1976, but we're not using any less water through the ditches since that.
There was no city water then. There was no treated water, right?
Let me just be a devil's advocate for a minute and say, so Mary Jones is buying.
It wasn't.
Mary Jones is buying an inch of water. Next year, Mary Jones decides she wants to buy 2 inches of water. Is that okay with the district? Because she's going to sell that extra inch to her neighbor and make some money. Is that okay with the district?
As long as Mary Jones is paying for the 2 inches of water and we have the capacity to supply it to her.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and it would still come back to the board of directors to have them approve such an agreement. So it's not like she can just up the amount of water that's being sold to her neighbors. I mean, she can't, at some point she becomes a water district and she has to then comply with the state of California. So we would have, like I said, and I think that the way you have to understand this is those are all just agreements in kind with your neighbor. Those are not like legally binding agreements. So she's in your scenario, Mary Jones, however you named them, is still on the hook and legally required to pay for the water that moves through their system and would not be allowed to receive water in the future if she did not pay for that bill. Now, if whatever she decides to do with it past her box is, you know, it's a little bit on her. Obviously, there are some limits and legal limits onto what she can do with that water once it's past her box. But unfortunately, I'm sure that happens that we don't know about.
I understand both sides. I'm just saying that you're allowing to increase your customer base for your water and you're not getting paid for it.
But how, yes, we would be getting
customers.
Paid for it.
More customers are using your water and you're not getting income for it.
Yes, they are.
I'm not sure you're following, because if she's taking more water, she's paying more money. Just because she's making money, you know, I can go buy something, a TV from Best Buy, and if I find somebody who wants to, you know, if I buy it for $500 and I find somebody who wants to buy it for me for $1,000, that's something I'm legally allowed to do. Just because she's making more money on the ditch water, you know, if that's the assumption that we're making here, that's the agreement that she has made. And that, honestly, if it was me, I would do that, and I would charge more, because you are liable if something happened, if there was an issue and your water broke and did damage to their property, then they're going to sue you as the homeowner who is supplying them water.
Maybe, but you're making it way more complicated than it needs to be.
I would never share my ditch water. So
I understand. Unfortunately, we are a litigious society. So we have a question. I believe it's 530-333-0733.
Yes, it's Cherie. The amount of ditch water is down about 120 inches from 4 years ago when the rate increased. Maybe the customer amounts are the same, but there's definitely less water being sold. There's inches
and
inches.
It has fluctuated over time. So yeah, there's, yeah.
Well, I mean, the last time, I'm not sure what this last year was, but the previous year it was at least 100 less. So they are selling less water.
There's water available. It just depends on which leg they're on.
But there's a lot of people drop their inches. The customer amount might be the same, but the inches dropped.
Right. Yeah.
Just back.
Thank you.
Oh, look, Cherie says Cherie now.
Yeah. And then we have another question from Christy.
I was just going to respond to Ray Paul in talking about, you know, people selling to others. Back on page 5, anybody who wants to up their amount is on the lowest priority for it being approved. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people ahead of them. First the people who have, anyways, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be a huge problem.
Okay. Well, thank you guys all for your input. Let's move on to section I, or excuse me, J. I apologize for that misclarification there on page 8.
I got no problem with that.
No.
Okay. Cherie, I noticed you have your hand still up, and I just want to make sure that you do not have any questions. Thank you. Section L.
This is the part you don't have.
You don't have, I'm so sorry, what now?
All irrigation service account must have an appropriate measuring device. Is that your orifice
mm-hmm.
that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what upgrade means. I don't know what that means.
Because originally there was a point where they were saying everybody
should be
looking at everybody putting a meter.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I was asking the question, because of the way it sounds.
Where do you think maybe a measuring device is better, not a metering?
It should be.
It says measuring device.
Oh, yeah, it does say measuring. Yeah. So.
Okay. Just so that refers to the orifices,
or the
yes.
That's all handled by the district. Customers don't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Tell them what you have to do. And
they were talking about requiring them to do, actually meter it at some point.
I don't know how you'd meter gravity. Metering gravity flow water is very difficult unless you have an abundance of pressure. And
some of the old pipelines did.
So, I think that's a difficult metering would be difficult, and I would propose not to include that language.
Okay.
So section M.
I don't have a problem with that either.
No, nothing.
Anyone wants it.
Section N.
Nope, everything's good.
Section O.
Can we go back a sec?
Yes, please. Section N, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was muted and didn't realize it. I'd like to know what the definition is of abnormal wear.
A hard one to, I think that would be damage due to someone trying to drill out their hole there.
If it rusts, not wear.
Well, I think rusting would not be abnormal. Right. Rusting would be normal.
Right.
I think what you're saying there is abnormal is, are you trying to increase the orifice size through?
Has it been tampered with?
But that's abuse. That's not wear.
It says abuse, the last line.
Right. But that's not abnormal wear if you're trying to change it. It would be like, I guess, people walking across the mechanism or something like that. Okay, go ahead.
Section O. Section P.
That was big. Unusual cost.
Unusual cost, yeah. What would that be?
Yeah, but I think it's also cleared up a little bit by the estimate of the expense shall be approved by the property owner prior to work commencing.
Yeah.
So I think that this whatever. Is like...
It's like an umbrella.
If you have a cow that walks over the top of your box and you're like... That would be, an unusual cost that could potentially happen. I can't tell you what that might be, but I think with you having to get permission before those repairs are made. Yeah,
that makes sense.
I think that's where you clear that.
I wouldn't worry about a cow, but I'm worried about a bear. It's up there, can I sure if you ditch one here, I found one up there.
Oh, really? Well, I mean.
After that, I started packing.
That's right. Section okay, so we're now moving to if we're done with section three, we can move to section four, changes, charges, rates, and billings. So, subsection A there. Subsection B.
That's no problem.
Yeah, what about the suggested change, the spreading the bills over 12 months?
I would say that's probably not recommended in case you change the time frame.
Everything. I don't think it's a good idea.
I think you should just keep it as when you're getting water, you pay for your water.
Yeah, because then in the off season, it would be Christy, really easy.
Give us 1 minute.
Oh, yeah, go.
Go ahead, Christy.
I think that, the purpose of this is because the rates went up so dramatically and, people were shocked by how much they had to put out. And I'm wondering if a deposit with the application to help reduce the billings might be a way to do it. Like $100. I mean, that would be minimal, but, consider something like that.
That would be, as a customer, you could do that, but I don't think everybody would want to do that.
Well, or you could require it.
I think you get more pushback on a deposit than you would by...
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Write the check and say, you're done with it.
I understand what you're saying. I think that you may be opening up the district to just unnecessary complaint.
And then if somebody leaves in October and doesn't pay the last
or month, just doesn't pay.
Yeah.
They don't even have to leave. It's like,
Okay, subsection C. And subsection D. Let's subsection E. And I can go a little slower if you need to get to the where you're at. I think that's only for treated customers.
What, I mean, maybe we need to look at that and look at this.
I don't think it matters because this is a fairly robust ordinance here that you have. So this would be an ordinance that is adjacent to and not like this. It's more of a, they both run together. So this would be the one that is long.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, you know, where there's a flat rate.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Flat rate of 10% or whatever it was for.
Well, that's what we were trying to avoid, is the flat rates plus the percentage. We want just percentage billing, okay. Percentage late fees.
Okay. I'm just saying, so they're both one in the kind of the same one to the other.
Yeah. So any late fees that we have should be the same. I agree. So that this should probably cover it, though. Any penalties shall be charged as outlined in the billings.
Yeah.
But then you have it down.
Where are you looking at there?
E.
Yes, paid a fee. Yeah, that's not a late fee, though. It says irrigation service accounts requesting verification of flow will pay a fee if the delivered flow is within 10% of the contracted amount. So all that's saying is if we come out to check, if you say, hey, we're not getting all our flow, and we come out and say, well, you are getting your flow, then you owe us the time, staff time to come out and verify that.
Ooh.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not
good.
I got
5 years of that, and it's all crap.
Well, it depends on how what you make or how long it takes, but I think having the guy come out and check your water flow should not be a charge.
I think your bigger concern is making sure they
clear boxes. Subsection E, it looks like if basically my take on how this is written is if you call to verify the flow and someone comes out and it's within 10% of what you are supposed to be getting, then you get to charge them like some sort of a service call fee.
Yeah, we had a charge in the past.
No, I would say no. Not for once. Okay, maybe reword it and say, excessive.
I'll add excessive, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
How many calls have I had? Where they've come out and I've heard every story in the book and
from employees?
Yes, sir. And then after the employees kind of disappeared and they started cleaning the box, everything went away and everything was fine.
They never cleaned that box in how many years?
Yeah.
That one box of under her line had never been cleaned.
That 10% has to be.
I think we can work on I'll put something in that all efforts will be made to verify flow, but if in the case of excessive, I want to use the word complaining, but excessive complaining, whatever the
calls,
legal term for complaining
calls,
is,
whatever,
you will,
yeah,
you will come up
trips
with the correct term.
Out, special trips or something.
I will work on the language.
Yeah, you have a good vocabulary. You can do this.
And then I believe we have a question from. I'm so sorry. I is it Rena?
Rena.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so just to help you with this a little bit, our flow gets checked many times during the season because my pond feeds into the lower pond, which my property also goes up to, and a fellow comes out at least four times during the season, brings a bucket, his watch, checks the flow, turns it up if the lower pond is lower, turns it down if it doesn't need to have enough, and I just give him full access to my property. He's awesome. My dog loves him. So it's a bucket and a watch. It's a very simple thing that even the owners can be taught to do, because I've watched him do it, but they're coming out already. So I'm just wondering why there would be.
In that situation, you're not requesting him to come out. He's coming out to do verifications for the district to make sure that flows are correct. So I think that this would be different. And so what I will do is clean up the languaging on if you are being called out excessively, if the district staff is being called to your location and it is deemed that you are doing it excessively, then a fee can be assessed. But I appreciate you actually having a nice compliment for the guy, and I appreciate that your dog and him get along. Was there any more for section E? Okay, it looks like we're on section 5, repeal. So we will just update that. All that is the legalese for when we accept this at the board level. Moving forward, it looks like we've made it through. What I will offer is I will go through and make languaging changes on this. And
is there still a question from Sherry?
No, that's my mouse.
Oh, okay.
That's my hand. Yes. So I will make languaging changes for this, and I think we'll come back in February to adopt. Or what's the time frame? What's your pleasure over there, Ms. Board Member, for adopting at the board level? You want to do it February, March? You want to do it before then?
If you ask Saunders, I can tell you what he wants yesterday.
Well, I mean,
we meet back. The committee meets again in February.
But you're coming back in February.
Right. So the committee meets again in February. So
one read through again.
Right.
To be realistic, right? And so
we can have it length. How about I have it to you in January sometime? And yes. Give you 30 days before the meeting.
Yeah, yeah, it would be to get it approved in February.
The meeting for the irrigation committee is after the board meeting in February.
That's fine. Then we will send it to the next board meeting in March.
Right.
Okay, perfect.
And at the same time, we will set the schedule for the season. And so perfect. We'll have multiple irrigation.
Yes. Okay. So we need to put that down in the agenda. Okay. We'll discuss what?
You'll approve or forward on to the board the amended ordinance.
Right.
And then also we'll be discussing in the February meeting. Will we know anything about irrigation start dates or anything like that?
We will have suggested start dates, but nothing will be approved.
What else do we want to talk about so it gets on the agenda?
Christy, I'm so sorry. What was it?
I'm sorry. And you'll provide all the data that you used to establish those dates for us to review?
Yes.
That's what we were asking.
Because what we'll do is we will forward that on to the board as a recommendation form, the irrigation committee, as to what dates we should suggest.
So is there anything else for the February meeting anybody wants to talk about, Christy?
I would like, I'm sorry, I'm changed over devices. I would like to know what the state is saying about water for 2023 in the February meeting, if that information is available then.
February will be a little bit early, but we can do the best that we
probably
can.
But I'll ask and put it on the agenda just in case, right?
Oh, put it on the agenda. So what was it?
I would say March. She wants to know basically climate conditions and water regulations from the state of California.
So that will be an update.
Yeah, that'll be just an informational piece. Alexandra, just so you're aware, typically you get those numbers around April 1st for the state is to know what is happening. What the operation is they start measuring the amount of water, or I guess the amount of snow that's on the ground, January 1st, February 1st, March 1st, April 1st. That's when they make their kind of end of season decisions. We will have some idea, but by then, May 1st is what they refer to as their snow melt test. So it's basically April into May is their first year of when they start having snow melt, and then June 1st is the last time they measure if there's still snow on the ground in May.
And so that report we got this morning, this afternoon, where you went over historical data and what we're at currently, you'll do that every committee meeting, so we have a general idea of how you see things.
So that's a typical water year look. So we're looking at 90 days for the water year. And we will get updates through the winter season as to what those outlooks are looking and how we're feeling on Stumpy and what NOAA is basically saying for future weather patterns. I would say if through October through you know, December, that's kind of your first portion of your water, your rainy season, your water season. And then January through March would be the second set. So you have to kind of understand both those separately, but we won't have the numbers for January through March until closer to end of December, early January.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Christy, did you have?
Yeah. At a previous meeting, we had touched upon talking about educating customers, giving them information. And one of the things that we talked about was teaching them about ditch care and perhaps doing videos about how to clean this or, you know, whatever. And I'd like to put it on the to revisit the that information and how it is given out to customers. And I think February is a good time to do that.
And then we were going to do the go through the application also.
I think.
Review application.
Review the application. That's late to review it, isn't it? It's already gone out by then.
Yeah, it would have gone out by then.
So, and we want to,
if you want to recommend that we adjust the contact information, because we think it's already on there, but we're going to highlight the application process to.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about too is that the application goes out, but there's no real information that talks about, and that's why we were talking about doing some outreach at some point where no one knows you're supposed to, what does it mean to have irrigation water? What are your responsibilities? That means you turn that hose on, you don't shut it off, you figure out where to run it, but that first valve stays open all the time. And somehow give them information, because some of them are brand new customers that don't know. I know when I got irrigation water, I didn't have a clue, except I had a little water miser that was coming around telling me what I needed to get done.
You can't leave until we adjourn.
Okay, well, I have to.
Oh, I'm sorry, we have people online. I apologize. I thought you were the quorum.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here.
So the new customers do get that.
Yeah, nice to see you.
New customers do. We could.
We don't need to discuss it right now.
Like fact sheet or something. Once you're approved for that season, we get to stick a fact sheet with your.
And we could even do a little quick video of one of our guys going out there and showing how to operate, you know, their valves and what needs to be done. I think, Chrissy, just to address what you said, we don't really want them doing ditch care because that's something that's more of our responsibility. And if they got hurt doing it, then there could be an issue because of that.
Well, so, isn't there some kind of put onto the customer about taking care of something? I mean,
Because it's I have a clothesline that comes to me. And I have to open this big valve and let that line flush out when they do work or when they do cleaning to get the mud out. And some people have to do this extra little bit to do, you know, to maintain their line. Nice to know when you're cleaning, when you're not. So I can know when I'm going to go down and hit that valve and let it run.
What a new customer.
With a piece of wire and unplugging it.
Yeah, so last year we sent out a notification when we were starting up and letting everyone, you probably got it, especially that.
The beginning notification.
We're going to be opening the valve this day. A lot of those private systems are all kind of unique, you know? So it's, we can do like a standard, you know, if you're on a pipe, the pipeline, you know, wait till you hear from us, the valve's getting open, then, you know, you should expect to keep your valve open, you get your wire connectors up, we could do something along
those lines. Periodically, flush your lines, if you have closed lines to keep them, because it will let mud into those lines.
Okay.
And little things like that, just reminders to people who don't know.
We can keep some on our website permanently too.
Yeah, I think we can come up with some video ideas. We'll throw that around inside the office here and have one of the guys who does turn, you know, these services, who is going to see the customers anyhow.
And when to call.
Yeah, and when to call. That's fine. We can do a 2-minute video, 1 to 2-minute video, and post it on YouTube and just have a link to it on the website so that people can see, you know, what. That's fine. I think that's a good use of new technologies. Chairman, it looks like you have a question from Rena.
Hi, I have the
yeah, go ahead.
example of what you guys are talking about. In 2016, I bought my home here and I didn't know I had the spigot on my property. And I don't know if you remember, but we had this torrential rain. It washed out my driveway. It was crazy. It rained forever. I took photos of flooding in my backyard and the spigot was left on. The water was left on. And this is November, December of 2016. The water, the ditch water was left on. And the spigot would come on wide open. I guess maybe they were flushing, but they forgot to turn it off, something like that. And my pond came up to the edge of the levee, literally up to the top. I had to start moving benches and things in case the water spilled over, which it did a little bit, but wasn't significant, just start moving it back down to the lower pond. But I had no knowledge that I had this spigot on my property until later on when the fellow across the pond spitefully turned off his account and we had to scramble and get a new account going. The neighbors had to come together on that. But that would have been really good information had I known. I could have turned that off physically myself at the spigot and not had to worry and freak out that I was going to flood out my home the first year I was here.
I think we can work on that.
That's all.
Another thing I learned that when you have heavy rain and that water comes down that ditch, it will still push out your sprinklers. Because I've had that happen too.
I just have the lowest spot. I got this 4-inch valve. I just open it up and just let it run. So if it comes down the ditch, that's the best thing. You got a low spot, so you don't have to go through your whole system.
I believe we can go and with number 7, we can suggest the changes that were made, adjust the changes, and move forward. You can make a motion to just continue this item. Somebody would have to make a motion to continue. And we will then have to move on to number 8. But we do have to vote since it's under action items.
I am lost.
Oh, for the agenda.
Yeah.
Here you go. What this?
Yeah, I think I got lost. You got it right in front of you.
A bunch of paper, and I don't know where I am in it.
Here you go.
Right here.
Oh, okay.
Right, number 7. So you just have to, somebody has to make a motion to continue.
I'll make a motion to continue.
Review ordinance 2005-01, recommended changes to board.
Yeah, and then
I'm just adding on to your.
So we will require a second for that motion. So from Christy or Alexandra or
second.
Okay, we have a second from Alexandra. And then roll call on that would be Bill Threckle.
All those in favor?
No.
I'm sorry.
Bill Threckle.
Yeah.
Carla Sutton has left and is abstaining now. Alexander Duarte.
Yes.
Christy McKay.
Yes.
And Ray Griffiths.
Aye.
Okay, so now you can move on to the rate.
Okay. Agenda items for next irrigation committee meeting.
Yeah, we did take notes. The next items are review and final approval of the ordinance to be accepted at the board level, potential adding of video training or other kinds of training for new irrigation customers, and there was one.
Potentially look at it, reviewing the
review for the season water, dates,
reviewing the water numbers for the year.
Oh yes,
and also seasonal outlook. Any potential update on the state regional water quality control board.
Oh, that's not state regional water quality control board. We don't use those words. DWR.
Whatever.
Allocations.
And that was an informational.
Sorry.
Those are bad words in these meetings. Just kidding. Okay.
And then
there was another one. Okay, so next regular irrigation committee meeting is February 16th of next year.
And then we were going to discuss the irrigation season dates.
Yes.
Give recommendation to the board.
Correct. The dates for irrigation season. We got them all. Okay. And so that's all of the items for agenda. And I think at that point we can adjourn. Unless there's any other ads from other.
Is there any other anything else members that anyone has?
I move to adjourn.
Pardon me?
I move to adjourn.
All right. There's a motion to adjourn. We have a second.
Thank you all. We're going to stop the recording now.
All those in favor?
Aye. You can.
Bye.
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 Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes, thank you.